You're listening to Crossroads International Church podcast. Welcome. We hope this podcast will bless you from wherever you're listening to it. For more information, go to our website at xrgs.nl. And now, let's get into the podcast.
Well, good morning, everybody. So it's summer. We're alive. And as we feel alive in our soul is this yearning, God, who am I to be? What am I to become? And what am I to do with this life that you have given me? And so for the last few weeks, we've been talking about how then do we discover, how do we discern God's heart for who we are to be and what we are to do. Discerning God's will for our lives is what we've been talking about. And so we said we understand that God has a dream, an overall vision for all of creation, but He creates and calls each and every one of us uniquely so by name, and He has a personal, unique will for us that unfolds within God's overall will for creation. And so we say, God, how do I discern? How does that look like in me for my life, me, unique, little old Paul, your a personal will for me as it unfolds in your overall plan for creation? What does that look like? How do I discern that? And we spoke about discernment. We said that there are three core pillars, if you will, three core principles when we talk about discernment that we always have to hold before us. And then what we do is we take those three pillars of discernment and then we say, God, if this is the principle of discerning your will, how do I now build a spiritual habit around each of those principles? And that's really what we're trying to do in the weeks, what I did last week and we'll do today and we'll continue to do in the coming 2 weeks, is we're taking these three pillars of discernment, I'll remind you now of what they are, and we seek to build spiritual habits, in other words, ways of living and being and thinking and doing that internalizes and realizes that spiritual principle of discernment and makes it real in my life. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So those three pillars, let's remind ourselves of what they are. The first is this, we spoke about we cannot live with a split spirituality, thinking that there's Sunday stuff, churchy things, and then the rest of my life has got nothing to do with God. That we understand, as we learn from the Word of God, the Bible teaches us that the presence and the activity and the hand of God can be seen active and present in every part of our lives. That's the principle. So now how do I build spiritual habits and ways of living and thinking and being around that principle? That's a little bit, I'm going to give you two practical habits to make that principle of the fact that God is active and wants to be active in all of our lives, spiritual habit that we can build around that principle. That's today. The second one, you remember, is this, that we need to, when talking about discernment, to learn to recognize the divine whisper, to listen to, in other words, listening to God's voice. And then last week we spoke about, so what spiritual habit can we build to realize that principle of the divine whisper? That principle is we have a God who speaks and has a will for your life, and He wants you to know it, and He speaks. So how do I listen to Him speaking? How do I listen to that divine whisper? What are the spiritual disciplines I can build into my life to make it real? And so we spoke last week about, hey, spend time with God. Not rocket science. If you want to recognize His whisper, recognize His voice, spend time with Him. And spend time with Him, number two, by reading His word. The best place to listen for His voice is in Scripture. And as I listen and spend time with Him by reading His word, Scripture, what happens is I get to know Him. I get to understand God more. I get to know who He is, what He's like, what His heart is, what He loves, what He doesn't love. And the more I do that, I'm able to discern what He wants me to be like and how He wants me to live and what He wants me to love and not love. And so what happens is my heart begins to align with His heart. And it is as my heart aligns and my desires and my hopes and my dreams and my passions, as my heart aligns with God's heart, it is so much easier easier for me to discern his will. When Catherine phones me, she doesn't phone and say, hello, this is Catherine speaking, your wife. Or when she phones, I don't go, sorry, who's this? She just phones and starts talking and I just start listening. That's how you stay married for 30 years. She doesn't have to introduce herself because we spend time together, so I recognize her voice. Right? The third principle, and I love her voice, can I just say so, by the way? And so the third principle about discernment that we want to build spiritual practice around is the principle that God has a big overall dream for all of creation. And that my personal will, my calling that God has for me, will always unfold within God's overall purpose for creation. My will, God's will for my life and God's will for all of creation will always connect and will not be in opposition to one another. And so the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about spiritual principles around that. So for example, we're going to talk about, if you think about, how does your will for my life fit into your bigger picture? I need to start talking about knowing and understanding my spiritual gifts, my personality, my temperament, the talents, the gifts that you have given me, the Holy Spirit gifts that you have given me, the natural gifts that you've given me. And as I make sense of those and I've come to grips with those, I'll be better positioned to understand how you now want me to play my part in your overall will for creation. Make sense? So that's what we can talk about next week, gifts and gifting and how that fits into the kingdom of God being established and the good news going into the world. That's next week. That's going to be JD because as you can tell by my shirt, I'm going to be on holiday, right? So I will think of you as I am in South Africa. Then the week after that, Stefan is going to preach and he's going to talk about practicing God's will. But today, really, I want to share with you two. And I thought long and hard about this, and I wanted to leave you with two spiritual disciplines that are practical, that are easy, they are accessible to all, they are biblical, and yet so few of us practice them. And the sad thing is that if anyone is serious about discerning God's will for your life, you have to cultivate and nurture by God's Holy Spirit these two spiritual practices in your life. And I want to share those with you. These two have probably had over my life in my studies, in my learnings, when I was supervised, when I was doing supervising of other students, in my ministry and in my daily life. These two, and this is why I want to share these two specifically with you, have probably had the biggest impact in helping me discern God's will for my life. And the two of them are this: prayerful reflection. The habit of reflection. In academia or in academics, you have learned about critical reflection. Huh? You remember that? I want to present to you prayerful reflection today. So we're going to talk about prayerful reflection as a habit, a daily habit. And the second is, let's call it sacred conversations. Being intentional about having sacred conversations. For all serious about discerning God's will, I will say to you now that if you nurture these two habits, prayerful reflection and sacred conversations, you will be well along the way in discerning God's will for your life and for your family. And so let's start then today with the spiritual practice of reflection. Prayerful reflection. So when I started training, I had to, so to become an ordained Methodist Anglican minister, you've first got to go to university, and then after that, you've got to go into seminary for another 5 to 7 years, depending on how, you know, holy you are. It's either 5 or 7. And so that 5 to 7 years is spent, the bishops give you churches and you are in church and you learn on the job. And so for the first 4 or 5 of those years, I had a supervisor that made me every single week meet him on a Thursday afternoon, every week, on a Thursday afternoon for reflection on the past weeks, on my pastoral activity that past week, to reflect upon the baptisms I did, the funerals I did, the hospital visitations I did, the conversations I had with people, the politics in church, and all those things every Thursday afternoon. And eventually, after many months, we got to a place where the busier I got, the more annoying this became. And so one day I finally said to him, I said, look, why do you want me to meet you every week for reflection? And the words he said then has stuck with me, and I've used them in my supervising of others over the years, and those words have stuck with me. He said to me, Paul, we don't learn from experience. We learn when we reflect on experience. That is so true. That is so true. Friends, I want to say to you that as we live life, and you will know this to be true, we experience so many things. Our lives, our outer landscape is so busy. Even, you know, from young, middle age, and after middle age, and all of it, our external landscape is so busy. Angelique was sharing with the staff last week, and I forget now about how many megabytes of information we have to process every single day in our brains. We're bombarded with everything. So I wake up today and then I have so many conversations. I sit in traffic and this person forgets that they have an indicator. And then I get frustrated. And then I've got a meeting. And then I watch TV. And then I watch. And then I'm on my phone. And there's so much happening in our lives every single day. So much going on. Am I right? And the day happens, and we go to bed, and then it's the next day, and we experience so much, and we live so much, and we have so many emotions, and so much goes on in our lives, and then the day ends, and then it's the next day, and the next, and the next, and the next. If we want to, I mean, this makes so much sense. If you and I want to identify and recognize and discern how the Holy Spirit has been at work and wants to lead and guide me in my life, then surely I must take time to stop and examine my outer landscape and how my outer landscape impacts my inner landscape. I am never fully going to go down the road of discerning God's will if I do not take the time to reflect on my outer landscape. And I want to encourage you that this be a daily thing that you do, and it mustn't take longer than 10 minutes. And I can with great confidence say, and I know many of you in this room are very important and very busy, but I think I can with great confidence say that there's not a single person in this room that is so busy that they cannot take 10 minutes a day to reflect on your outer landscape, guided by the Holy Spirit. It is such an easy spiritual discipline, and yet so few of us do it. Life just happens to us one day after the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. And then we get to a point where we're like, where am I? What's going on? God, where are you in all of this? As I was preparing for this, and I'm busy reading through the Gospels again, I said to you in week one, I think, you know, a beautiful way to keep company with Jesus, the one whom we follow, is by reading the Gospels over and over and over again. And can you believe after all these years, I just in preparing for this, discovered 2 verses in Luke's Gospel that speaks about this reflecting upon my outer landscape. These 2 beautiful verses that I'd never noticed before. Isn't just the active word of God so beautiful? that God uses to speak to us, I'd never noticed them because they're these two sneaky little verses. They just hide away in a dramatic story. And Luke, just by God's spirit and beauty, just kind of snuck them in there. I love it. In Luke chapter 2, so here's the context. You remember? So here's a young Jewish girl, Mary. Mary, young Jewish girl. Her life is, I mean, her outer landscape is madness. I mean, here all of a sudden, for starters, an angel comes to see her. I'm like, hello. So here's a young Jewish girl. An angel visits her. What's more, this angel tells her, hey, you're going to have a baby. I'm like, what? I haven't been with anybody. But you're going to be pregnant. And wait, there's more. He's going to be the Messiah. Talk about chaotic, crazy, outer landscape. And then in the midst of this, now I've got to find and I've got to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Over 90 kilometers. I don't have a car. How am I going to do that? That's going to be crazy. And then I get there and it's time for the baby to be born. And they're like, hey, where am I going to do this? Now I've got to find a borrowed cave / stable, manger, whatever. And in the messiness of a borrowed stable. I mean, talk about outer landscape. God, where are you? What are you doing? What's going on? What do you want from me? What's your will for my life? Then the outer landscape of chaos continues. Then, you know, then there are shepherds and they're wise men and they bring these fancy gifts. What am I going to do with these gifts, God? What are they for? Then the outer landscape continues. The madness, the word comes that Herod is sending death squads to kill babies. Oh boy, now we've got to pack them a gun down to Egypt. Oh, thankfully, we've got some fancy gifts to pay for the trip, you know. And so in the midst of all of this, the outer landscape, Luke just sneaks in this verse, in Luke 2, verse 19. Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Huh? Hello? Different words. She considered her outer landscape and pondered them. In other words, she reflected on them. Now listen, if it was good enough for Mary, the practice of pondering and reflecting on your outer landscape, it's good enough for us. And then, just a few verses later, if we fast-forwarding the story, now Jesus is 12 years old. And remember that chaotic moment when he disappears. They go to the temple. You remember that? Yes. Where's Jesus? We're traveling home. Jesus has gone off and done his own thing. And then Luke sneaks this in again. Luke 2, verse 51. His mother treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Well, hello. Thank you, Luke, for sneaking that in there. Friends, and so I can imagine in the midst of her daily life, taking time to ponder and reflect upon God. What's going on? What are you wanting to say to me? Lord, what are you doing? What does it mean to be a faithful servant in this situation? How do you want me to respond to you? God, I'm feeling all this. What must I do with all these emotions? Where are you in this, Lord, in this madness of Herod and the babies? Where are you in this? And I can imagine it, just the pondering and reflecting upon, and in doing so, discerning the work of the Spirit in her life. Why is the practice of reflecting prayerfully on our circumstances so utterly important? Well, I've already said to you, because of this one corner pillar truth about discernment that we learn from God's word, the Bible teaches us about God's active presence in every experience, in every encounter, in every event, that there is no place in our everyday lives where God is absent. Therefore, I must reflect upon it. God wants to meet us in all the realities of my daily life. However, we will only ever discern how God is present and active in my normal daily life when I take the time to reflect on them. A good example is a car. A car has a windscreen, a big windscreen, does it not? To see how to go forward. But a car also has a rear view mirror, although some drivers have not quite figured that one out yet, but be that as that may. Oh boy. friends. And so we use that. I can only effectively and properly move forward when I also take the time to look back so that I can move forward more safely. What is true in driving is true, I think, in our spiritual journey with God as well. Think about what happens, and here's why it's so important. Think about, and here's the reality of it, think about what happens when you do not take the time to reflect. Here is evidence of a life that is lived without prayerful reflection. Here's the evidence. Here's how you discern a life lived without reflection. Because what happens is this. Without trying to gain insight into what's happened and how I responded and why certain things have happened and why I do certain things, without reflecting on that and gaining insight in that, I am more likely to do what? Repeat the same mistake and respond in the same way and fail in the same way and repeat the same destructive habit and behavior over and over again. Therefore, by implication, I am missing out daily on the fullness of God. Reflection leads to of yesterday leads to fullness tomorrow. Make sense? You can write this down if you are inclined to do so. The more I reflect on God's activity in the past, the easier, it makes sense, the easier it becomes to discern His activity in the future. Because what I'm doing is I'm now recognizing, ooh, God did that. This is what happened today. This is how I responded. Here's what, and I recognize, because in the minute I don't always acknowledge and I missed a blessing. Somebody said something, and only when I pause and reflect on it, like, oh my goodness, that was a word from God. So the more I reflect on the past, the easier it becomes to now, because what's happening is now I'm sharp. Now I'm more aware. Now, okay, God, that's how you work. That's how that, and so it makes it easier for me tomorrow. I see what's going on, God. I recognize this. The more I reflect on the past, it's easier for me to recognize God's activity in my tomorrow. Does that make sense? Three places, very quickly. Three parts of my outer landscape that is worthy of reflection. But then I'm going to tell you quickly how to do that. My personal relationships is number one. A core area out in my outer landscape that needs reflection. Hey, listen, can I say this to you? The acid test of our relationship with God, listen to me, the acid test of our relationship with God is the quality of our relationship with those around us. Let's put it bluntly, the way the Bible teaches us in 1 John 4:20, those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And so I reflect upon that. Is there an apology needed somewhere? Is there conflict somewhere? Is there something that needs to be made right? Is there somewhere in my relationship I need to invest? And so I examine my personal relationship. The second big area that needs reflection in my life is your daily work life. Whatever that might be, even if you're a stay-at-home homemaker, doesn't matter. Your daily home life. The most important mission trip you will ever make is your trip to work every day. And so I need to reflect on that landscape. God, why am I working here? Why did you put me here? How does your personal will for me unfold in your general will out in this landscape in the workplace? The gifts and the talents you've given me, and I reflect upon this daily. And the third is engaging with the pain and the suffering in the community around me, in the people around me, in my community. And so I ask questions like, because I cannot. You see, because I understand that each one of us are called to bring God's love into contact with the brokenness of the world, right? And I understand I'm not a world leader. I don't lead a nation. I can't change big policies. But what I can do is I can reflect and every day ask, God, where do my gifts and abilities more connect and connect with the needs that I'm experiencing in my outer landscape, what's going on in my immediate world around me. And so it's good for God's people to reflect upon what's going on in the world around us and to see how does God's will for me connect with that. Okay. The practice of prayerful reflection. I want to give you just a couple of things. Number one, I can just say, so what my supervisor back in the day, we followed the Ignatian, the Examen. Some of you might be aware of it. Some of you know it? Please, somebody. Okay, it's like three of you. Okay. The Ignatian way called the Examen. If you don't know it, I would encourage you, go and Google it. And it will lay it out for you how to follow the Examen. This should not take more than 10 minutes because it's a rearview mirror. That's why the rearview mirror is smaller than the windscreen. It's necessary, but it's not the most important thing, but it is necessary for me to go forward well. I need to take 10 minutes a day. And here's the first thing. So we followed our own version of the Examen, but it generally is connected this way. You always begin by inviting the Holy Spirit and yielding to the Holy Spirit. Because why? Here's what we're doing when we talk about, and this is so important, the spiritual discipline of reflecting upon my outer landscape. It is not a mental exercise. It's not a thought exercise. It is a prayer exercise. What am I doing? I want to reflect on my outer landscape, what's happened to me today with God. That's what I'm doing. I want to reflect with God. And for that, I need the Holy Spirit. So you begin by saying, Holy Spirit, please show me, help me look back upon my day as I sit there at, 7 o'clock tonight. Help me, Holy Spirit, look back upon my day as I look back to recognize your hand and your activity throughout my day. So you invite the Holy Spirit. And then from there, what you do is you pay particular attention to notice the possible gifts and blessings that God may have scattered along your day. And can I say to you, you will be surprised to discover how many there are. And without reflection, I miss them. And God, I can imagine God just like, oh, I had this beautiful thing lined up for them today and they just missed it. They didn't even notice it. You begin by noticing the possible gifts and blessings. And what it does is, and here, this is an important part of spiritual prayerful reflection, is what it does is it births gratitude in you. Gratitude is wonderful soil for the Holy Spirit to work in. Huh? And so I look at the blessings and the things about the day, and I do so with gratitude. Then the next thing you do is you take note of the emotions of the day. The emotions of the day. How did I respond in a particular situation? How did I feel about when this happened and when that happened? I take note of my emotions. And part of that is, where did I succeed? In other words, where did my emotions make me act in a good way? Where did I succeed and where did I fail? Then what you do is you ask, okay, where did I feel alive today and where did I feel dead, drained? And God's Spirit will speak to you. And then you take that learnings. And then the last step, what you do is you say, God, now tomorrow, may I take this with me into tomorrow. And let me tell you, the more you do this, then all of a sudden, now you step into tomorrow. Oh, okay, I know how to respond in this situation. I know what God's doing here. I can see what's going on here. And so I'm better. I'm sharpened now. I'm focused. I'm more zeroed into the work of the Holy Spirit today because I know how He worked yesterday and the day before and the day before. And it's sharpening me and it's focusing me. And I'm better able to recognize and spot the hand of God as I go through my tomorrow. Make sense? Okay, right. Last one. Let's move on. The last one is sacred conversations. This is another habit that has just been so significant in me discerning God's will. Sacred conversations. Intentional, deliberate, building sacred conversation into your life. I want to say this to you, friends. we seldom discern God's personal will for our lives alone. When we invite Jesus into our lives, he brings his children with him. He comes with his family. You and I must understand that we do not follow Jesus alone. The Bible doesn't know anything about spirituality in isolation. It's not a thing. As much as in the West we try and make it a thing, it's not a thing. Spirituality in isolation, it's not a thing. We discern God's will for our lives as part of God's people. Jesus said himself, Matthew 18, where two or more are gathered. I've got lots of verses in Proverbs I can read you, but for the sake of time, I won't. Go and read Proverbs. Speaks a lot about the value of engaging with fellow believers, faithful followers of Jesus, entering into discussion and conversation with people you know, love, and trust to together help you discern God's will for your life. Sacred conversation. Discernment requires conversation. Why? Because we have blind spots. That's why. And we all interpret and see our lives and what God's doing in our lives through certain lenses. And it's going to take a conversation with a trusted brother or sister in Christ to help you see things through a different lens and get a different perspective on what God's doing in your life. I had a beautiful, what I would call, sacred conversation this week. Here's what I mean. What's different from just a normal chit-chat, tea, coffee with your mate. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about something different. I'm talking about a sacred conversation. It's something you schedule. It is intentional. It is deliberate. I had what I would class a beautiful, sacred conversation with somebody today. This person went to the trouble to go onto the app to make an appointment with me. I had to take my kid to the doctor and cancel it. It did not put him off. He rescheduled. Got in his car, drove all the way from the other side of town. Intentional, deliberate, made the point. And it was around stepping into a new role in work and wanting to discern God's will. Will you have a sacred conversation with me and help me recognize God's will? Sacred conversations are huge, people, and I want to encourage you to build that discipline into you. Make time to find people that can mentor you, that you trust, and that can help you discern God's will with you. Can I just, in closing, time's up, in closing, a beautiful illustration of a sacred conversation. You remember the story of Jesus and after his resurrection on the road to Emmaus. You know the story? Oh, my word. So here are these guys. So they're walking. They're disillusioned. They're just not in a good place because they put their hope and trust in the Messiah. Then he's crucified on Friday. And like, oh, my goodness, what's going on? They're shattered. They're in despair. They walk. And all of a sudden, a stranger comes into the context. And he begins what? A sacred conversation. And will you note how at the start of the conversation, they did not know it was Jesus. They did not recognize Jesus. They didn't see. They didn't know. They didn't recognize. And he begins a sacred conversation. And so, by the way, what's beautiful about sacred conversations, they always involve questions. Because that's what a sacred conversation does. It makes room for questions. And it's in the question. Open questions. Who, what, why, how, where. Not yes, no questions. It opens up space for the Spirit to speak and to work. And so Jesus begins with a question. Hey, what are you talking about? So by the way, Jesus asked far more questions than what he gave answers, actually. Three times as many. He was asked, answered about 100 or so questions. He asked over 300 questions. And so he begins with a question, and the sacred conversation begins. And when you go and read the rest of the story, you'll remember. So what that sacred conversation did, it led to them inviting him into there. So now the outer landscape begins to shape through sacred conversation, the inner landscape. And it is there where they suddenly, because of the sacred conversation, recognized in the stranger their Savior, Jesus. The power of sacred conversation. You step into the conversation not recognizing, not knowing, and you will leave that conversation by the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing, understanding, recognizing, discerning God's will. Build it into your life. Okay, I'm done. Time is up. Right. Let's pray. Friends, I want to encourage you before I go on holiday. If you're serious about discerning God's will for your life, to reflect prayerfully on your outer landscape daily. Use whatever method you want. To then engage in sacred conversation by trusted and loved fellow followers of Jesus, by listening to each other, by asking God-filled, wondering questions, and by sharing with one another what is most real. And by doing so, you are positioning yourselves to discern God's personal will for your life more clearly and more responsibly. Lord Jesus, may that be true for each and every one of us. By the power of your Spirit, give us the discipline to daily make time to look for you in our day. And to not, and to have the courage to sit with a brother or sister and say, can you listen with me and help me discern, help me look at my life through a different lens and more clearly see your will for my life. That's my prayer for us all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a wonderful week. See you next time.